Amen, church. Well, we are continuing our series this morning, Wells of Salvation. So if you haven't been here the past couple weeks, you could always go to our website to hear the previous messages. But let's welcome our lead pastor, Joe Source.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
How are we doing today?
Blessed.
Good. We're blessed?
Yes.
We're blessed?
Yes.
All right. My wife's not here this morning. We got a text message that our youngest son's wife was having labor pains all night. So grandson number 11's on the way. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I told my son, I said, you got to have another one. I don't want an odd number of grandchildren. So that's where she is. Playing mama up there. So, yeah. We'll let everybody know what's going on, hopefully within the next few hours. Quick in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And as painless as possible in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Good. Now listen, a couple of things. Do not, under any circumstances, unless it's a matter of life and death, do not miss next weekend. Whether you come on Saturday night or you come on Sunday morning, whatever. Next week is a perfect weekend for you to bring somebody who has doubts about the gospel or doubts about whether the Bible's accurate or doubts about these last days that we're in. Because Reverend Joe Morris is going to come here next week, as you saw that clip. And God has him on assignment to teach the church the signs of the last days, what to look for, what we should expect from this point forward. Amen. How many think if Jesus is coming back, it's a pretty big thing? How many thought it was a big thing when he came the first time? Okay, so this second time will be very, very different, and he will break that down. I want to spend a lot of time. But most people make the mistake of lumping together. When we talk about the end times, we talk about the last days. They talk about the second coming of Christ. Well, the second coming of Christ happens in two phases, okay? The next phase involves the church, okay? And that's why it's so important for us to be able to recognize the signs of the times, see in the scriptures, and listen to me. I tell you this, I'm not exaggerating at all. There's not a week that goes by that there's not some Bible prophecy that gets fulfilled. And we're in that time right now. Daniel said in the last days, things will really speed up, and they are. There's an acceleration that's happening. Things are happening very quickly. Things are wrapping up very quickly. I mean, just this week alone, the stuff that's happened in the Middle East, make your just like, oh, what is going on here? When you understand how the scriptures have talked about this, some of the scriptures 3,000 years ago talked about what's happening today in this day and age. And here we are, we have the privilege and the honor of living during these times. Amen? So make sure you get here next week. Hallelujah. All right, so got a couple of things. I do have a major announcement that I'm going to make at the end of the service. I don't want to do that now. But let's get into part three of this message, of Wells of Salvation. I thought I was going to be able to finish it in three parts, but I'm not going to be able to. So after next weekend, when Reverend Joe Morris is here, we'll come back the weekend after that and do part four and then wrap this series up and see where God takes us next. Amen?
Amen.
So I'm going to do a little bit of review because I'm not going to assume that everybody was here last week. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit, if you're new to the faith, or if you're new to our church, because not every church emphasizes the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's a big deal.
Amen.
The unfortunate majority of Christians don't understand the central focus of the Holy Spirit as far as being involved in the church. The Holy Spirit is the one who's running the church. This is important because you're the church. A couple of people, thank you, Dean. A couple of people got it. You're the church. I'm the church. Now, if you come from the same kind of background that I come from, we were taught the building is the church. And so you had to go to the building to pray. You had to go to the building to light a candle. You had to go to the building to talk to God. No. When you're born again, when the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you, you carry the Holy Spirit no matter where you go. You are the church. Paul said you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit resides in this flesh and blood and bone body, and that's why Jesus could turn the entire operation of his ministry over to the disciples, who eventually then we call them now apostles. An apostle comes from a Greek word that means a sent one, one who's on a mission that's charged by someone superior to them to go on this mission to bring the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, to the nations, okay? The only way he could entrust that job to us is knowing that we had the equipment that we needed. Unfortunately, for some reason, throughout the centuries, the role of the Holy Spirit became less and less and less, and the role of religion became stronger and stronger and stronger. And that's a dangerous thing. That's why Christianity became so powerless. Now, has anybody here, be honest, how many of you read the book of Acts? Okay. All right, good. You go read it again. Because you know, in the book of Acts, you don't see a powerless church. You see a church that shook things up every place they went. That's the way it's supposed to be. The idea of a powerless, just natural group of people coming together to talk about God without any power, without any transformation, without any miracles, without any supernatural, that doesn't exist in the heart of God. Are you listening? Yes. If you're born again, you're supposed to be, you were meant to be, you are equipped to be, you were empowered to be a supernatural being. Amen. You're a supernatural individual. You have the Spirit of the living God, the creator of the universe, living on the inside of you if you are born again. Amen. He is the Spirit that came to dwell in you. Amen. When you said, Jesus, be my Lord, be my Savior. Okay? There's nothing normal about us. Amen. I'll say it again. Because, you know, some of you are thinking, well, but people are weird. There's nothing normal about Christians. We're not supposed to be, we're not supposed to fit in. We're not cookie cutter people. We're supernatural beings living in these bodies. Because a spirit needs a body to function on this realm, in this on this planet. Amen?
Amen.
That's why the devil's always looking to possess someone. Because the devil can't manifest himself unless he takes control of a human being. God, on the other end, is wanting to get his spirit in man because that's how he created us to function. Amen. Amen. You remember when God created Adam? He breathed life into him. And that's when Adam became a living person. And God's been trying to do the same thing for us all these thousands of years. All he has wanted to do is get his spirit back in mankind. Amen. All right, so let's talk about this. Let me review a little bit from last week. God wants us to share our life with him. The ups and the downs, the victories and the failures. He desires intimacy. He accomplishes this through the Holy Spirit who's in us. God desires for us to not live a life separate from him. Now, unfortunately, here's what happens. And of course, you guys are learning from this, and things are going to change, and we're all going to change together. Amen. So here we are now. It's Sunday morning, right? Yes. Where are we? We're gathered together in this building. The church has come together, and now you're here. We've just gone through praise and worship. We brought our tithes. We brought our offerings. We've worshiped God with what we have. Now it's time for us to be encouraged and refreshed and empowered and equipped for the word, with the word, so that we have to face tomorrow. Amen. But here's the danger, what happens sometimes. We leave here today, and for a few hours, we hold on to what we got this morning. By about 6 o'clock tonight, we start thinking about, oh man, I gotta go to work tomorrow. Gotta go back on that job. And so now you start draining what you received here today. And then what ends up happening, and sometimes it happens without us even realizing it, we switch out of the category of church or category of Christian, and now we start acting like for the rest of the week. Maybe if you come to Wednesday night, and I advise you to come to Wednesday night. Wednesday nights are good. If you've never been here on a Wednesday night, you're missing out. Because, man, the Holy Spirit really pours out in the teaching mode on Wednesday nights. I would get here if I was you, okay? So maybe Wednesday night we get a little bit of a lift. We get to church, and we're like, Thursday morning, we're still. But then Thursday night, Friday morning. And that's why you can have a Christian who's born again, spirit-filled, but out partying on a Saturday night. Out partying on a Saturday night. And then show up on Sunday morning looking to get plugged in again. And life takes on that cycle. It's not supposed to be that way. Life with God, life in Christ, is supposed to be even-keeled. But you see, we're very used to categorizing and compartmentalizing our lives. So on Sunday mornings, we're Christians. Or if you come Saturday night, you don't go partying on Saturday night. You come to church on Saturday night, you party with us. Okay? And last night was good. You should have been here. Okay? So now, you see what I'm saying? We just split our life up. And so what happens is, during the times when we're not in Christian mode, in that compartment, when we're not in that compartment, we're not sharing our life with Christ.
That's right.
The troubles and the problems and the pressures, and I'm talking to somebody this morning. We don't take them to the Lord because I'm not in church mode. I'm in work mode. I'm in social mode. I'm in whatever. You put the title on it. Are you listening to me? If we would get a hold of the idea that God's desire is to share life with us and for us to share our life with him, no matter what we're going through.
Amen.
No matter how bad we've messed up, no matter how successful we are, he wants us there. Now, you can't do that unless you're aware that you're connected to him.
Amen.
Are you getting this?
Yes.
And if you're born again, if you have given your life to Christ and you've received him and declared him as your Lord and Savior, there was a divine connection that was made between you and him. It's in your spirit. It's it. Now, the more you hang out with him, the more you get in the word, the more you worship, the more that you get to know him, the more you're stronger the connection becomes. Now, the connection that's in your spirit by the Holy Spirit, okay, you're connected to God Almighty, creator of the universe, by the Holy Spirit who came to live inside you. Now, the more you hang out with the Holy Spirit, the more that you involve him, the more that you communicate with him, the more that you bring your problems to him, the more that you seek him for solutions, the more, watch this now, the more your soul, your mind, your will, and emotions starts getting affected by this connection that you have in your spirit to God Almighty. When you got born again, your soul might have experienced some emotions, but your soul has not experienced transformation yet. Your spirit got transformed. Your spirit came to life. Are you listening?
Yes.
So the more that you hang out with the Holy Spirit, the more that you involve him in your life, the more you communicate with him, the more that you converse with him, the more that you just involve him in everything, the more your soul now, your mind, your will, your emotions now start getting affected. And that's when you experience transformation that everyone can see. When you got born again, people couldn't see that. It's rare. Sometimes you say, well, the person's countenance really changed. Yeah, it happens sometimes. But just like when Moses came down off the mountain, eventually that glory, that shining, dissipated. He wants to share things. And listen, the only way that you're going to know, I want to just jump into this now. The only way that you're really going to know and be aware of how much God loves you and what he really thinks about you is only going to come by the connection that you have through the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the revealer of truth. The Holy Spirit is what, when you open up your Bible, and I pray that you do more and more often, I would, if I was you, and I did this in the early days, and still do it sometimes, Holy Spirit, you wrote this book. You used men, you inspired them, but you're the author. Holy Spirit, please open my eyes to what you meant when you wrote whatever you're reading. He wants to be invited. Do you want to butt into somebody? Do you want to butt into somebody's life? I met Daniel just recently, okay? No, but if he was sitting in the library someplace and we didn't know each other, and I walked over, sat next to him and said, hey, you want me to tell you what this book is about? How awkward would that be? Now, if he says, excuse me, do you happen to know what this book means? Have you read this book? Do you happen to know what it's about? Do you happen to know, what the plot line? Now what happens? He's invited me to come and explain something. Are you getting this?
Yes.
The Holy Ghost is a gentleman. We don't understand this. He operates differently.
Yes.
He wants to be invited.
Yes.
Are you getting this?
Yes.
So if you know that, invite him. Listen, Paul put it this way. When he was writing to the church at Ephesus in chapter 1, what we call chapter 1, he writes a prayer down that he prayed for the people of Ephesus. You guys, some of you guys know, you're familiar with it. He says, I pray that God Almighty, the God of glory, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, would grant unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God, the eyes of your understanding, not these eyes, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you would know what the hope of his calling is on your life.
Amen.
What is it? That's a prayer inviting the Holy Spirit to come and open up our eyes, to give us wisdom, to give us revelation. Are you getting this?
Yes.
But if you don't seek that relationship, even though you're born again, your spirit's alive unto God, if you were to drop dead or, God forbid, something happened and you lost your life, you would immediately be in the presence of God, but still walking around on the earth ignorant of who he is. Are you getting this?
Yes.
So, he reveals the word to us. He reveals how much the Father thinks about us, what we mean to him. God is aware of every need every day, not just once in a while. He's aware of your needs every day. He cares for us in a way that no one else can.
Amen.
Okay, but you won't know that if you don't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Okay? Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Watch this, verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was what?
Moved
with what? Compassion for them. He cared because they were weary and scattered like sheep with no shepherd. Jesus was very much aware. You need to know that Jesus is very much aware. But the only way you're going to know Jesus is very much aware is if you know the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will reveal that to you. Amen?
Amen?
He saw them like sheep without a shepherd, confused, lacking focus. He saw them scattered, afraid, hunted down by the wolves of life. Now, we're called sheep. Old Testament, New Testament, we are referred to as sheep. You know what the natural predator for sheep? What is it? It's a wolf. You'll say, well, Pastor, we live in an urban area. You know, we live in a city area. It's pretty populated here. We don't really see too many wolves or anything like that around here. Yeah, but there's wolves in life. There's wolves that bring emotional trauma. There's wolves that bring disease and sickness. There's wolves that bring poverty. There's all kinds of wolves trying to devour God's sheep. And yet Jesus is very much aware. The Holy Spirit is very much aware. And he cares for us. And he has compassion for us. When you're going through something that you know something's not right, it's something I just don't feel right. I don't feel right emotionally. I don't feel right physically. I just feel my mind. I feel like I can't focus. You may not know what's wrong, but he does. He does. He cares for us. Amen?
Amen?
So listen to what Jesus said about himself. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. I know for some of you this is basic stuff. Hang in there. Luke 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me, this is Jesus speaking, to preach the gospel to the poor. Look at this. He has sent me to heal who?
The broken.
The broken. Has anybody in here ever been brokenhearted at least one time in life? To proclaim liberty to who? The captives. Have you ever felt bound? Have you ever felt restricted? Have you felt like, what's wrong? I can't break out of this thing. And recovery of sight to the blind. To set at liberty those who are what?
Oppressed.
Oppressed. Do you know what it means to be oppressed? Oppressed means there's a pressure on your life. It could be mental. It could be emotional. It could be physical. It's something. It's pressure. It's heaviness. It's a weight. Has anybody ever gone through life? Some of you might have come here this morning feeling weighed down, pressured. And maybe, hopefully, you got some relief during worship, because that worship will do that. Worship will break that stuff off of you. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus, listen to me. I want you to get this. This is extremely important. Jesus rescues us from anything that threatens the intimacy between us and him.
Amen.
I'm going to say it again, because you've got to get this. You've got to get this, because you've got to see the wolves of life as threatening the intimacy between you and the Father. How does that work? I'll explain it to you. But listen, he rescues us from anything that threatens the intimacy between us and him. Now, this doesn't, I'm not referring to this all the time, but there's some of us throughout the years have been rescued from relationships that were threatening the intimacy between us and God. What about this one? How about a tragedy comes into a person's life? And if they're not careful and if they're not strong in the things of God, what does it do? What is the first reaction? How did God let this happen to me? What is that doing? That thing has come to threaten the intimacy between you and your Heavenly Father. You lose a job, your finances get threatened, or your finances get wiped out. And what happens? First thing we do, we start questioning God. We don't get angry at the thing that robbed us. We get angry with God. And what does it do? It might bring a cooling off period between you and God. I've seen this happen to people throughout the years. Well, I'm just mad at him. Mad at him? Mad at the one who has the solution you're mad at? The one that caused the problem you're not mad at? But the one that has the solution you're mad at? You see how stupid that is? How counterproductive that is. And the Lord knows that. He wired us. He knows how we operate. So if you'll invite him, he'll rescue you from the thing that's trying to pull you away from him. You getting that? So, you got it, right? So because he loves us, Jesus made the Holy Spirit available to us. Thank you, David. I hear you. I don't know where you are, but I hear you. Because he loves us, he made the Holy Spirit available to us. Remember what he said to the disciples at the Last Supper. I'm going away, and because I say I'm going away, you're getting sorrowful. But he said, if you really knew the truth, it's better that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit can't come.
Amen.
Jesus came to reveal the Father, but the Holy Spirit came to ignite the church,
Amen.
To be with us. Amen?
Amen?
All right, good. So, again, let's review this a little bit. In the Bible, there's many different symbols representing the Holy Spirit. Isaiah received a revelation of a well. Isaiah 12:2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song. He's also become my salvation. Verse 3, important. Read it with me nice and loud. 1, 2, 3. Read it like it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, not 9:30 in the morning, okay, or 9, whatever. 1, 2, 3. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. You've got a well. There's a well. Isaiah got this revelation that there's a well that God has. Now, at that time, it was a well outside of man. Now, Jesus has made it available inside of man. You and I have a well, a deposit, a reservoir. And that reservoir is filled with the Holy Spirit. And so what do you do with a well? What does a well exist for? What are you supposed to do with a well?
Drink.
You draw from it. Now, he said here, with joy, with joy, with joy. And I see how joyful everybody is this morning. With joy. And the thing is this, when we truly understand what's available in that well, we will draw with joy. When you start understanding that, look, I'm getting ahead of myself here a little bit, but everything God is and everything God has and everything God has available for you is in that well. It was deposited in there when you got saved, when you got born again, when you said, Jesus, come into my heart. The Holy Spirit came in and a deposit was made in you. Now, the well is there. Whether you draw from it or not, the well is still there. That well doesn't dry up. But you could live your life as if you have no well if you don't pay attention to the well. If you don't purposefully draw from the well, then you do without. But don't blame God. He deposited the well. Jesus used other terms. Jesus talked about a drink. In John chapter 4, he offered that woman, the Samaritan woman, a drink. Say drink. Okay? Then he told her that just a drink from him and she would thirst no more. And that initial drink would become a fountain. John chapter 7, verse 38, Jesus said, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers, rivers of living water. So you take a drink, the drink becomes a fountain. You start drawing from the fountain, and the fountain becomes a river. River. Do you think a river full of water is way more than what you need? Come on, what am I talking? Brain science here? Rocket science here? Is a river way more water than you can consume yourself? Yes. Then that means the river is for other people.
Amen.
But if you don't make it available, then people around you can die of thirst. You got to take the drink. The drink becomes a fountain. The fountain becomes a river, and the river affects the world.
Amen.
Oh, my God, that should have made everybody happy here this morning. Because you got people around you that are dying. They're drying up. They need Jesus. Well, all you're doing is just taking a drink and taking a drink and taking a drink and taking a drink and taking a drink. Oh, good. The drink is for you. But the drink is supposed to develop into a fountain. And you're supposed to jump in that fountain and splash around. And then that fountain becomes a what? A river. 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 A river. A river. I know, thank you. When I got born again, I was the only one in the family, the only one to take a drink. My mom had gotten saved during the Catholic Charismatic Movement back in the 80s. No, 78 she got born again. Anybody know about the Catholic Charismatic Movement from years ago? Yeah, a lot of major leaders right now came out of that thing. Okay, so God was moving. He was pouring out the Holy Spirit and the Catholics, priests. Priests were getting born again. Priests were getting baptized in the Holy Ghost. Priests were having healing services. Then the devil found out and shut the whole thing down. But by that time, it was too late. Too many people got affected. What happened? Those that had gotten a drink back in 1967 outside of Pittsburgh in a Jesuit seminary of all places that God shows up. And these priests that were seeking God start getting baptized, nuns getting baptized in the Holy Ghost. And it started a movement through the church. Even Pope John, the 22nd, whatever he was, the little pope, he got born again. He got baptized in the Holy Ghost, and he endorsed that movement. And it started sweeping across the church. And then what happened was this. That's how the charismatic movement started. Okay, and then it started jumping into Baptist churches and Episcopalian churches, Presbyterian churches, Lutheran churches. And the Holy Ghost jumped out of the Pentecostal churches and started getting involved in all the other denominations. They took a drink, the drink became a fountain, and the fountain became a river.
Yes.
Are you listening?
Yes.
That's how it's supposed to be. So when I got born again, I was the only one, the only one. Only one taking a drink. But then all of a sudden, I discovered the fountain, and the fountain, I started splashing in the fountain, and I started telling everybody else, you guys got to get born again. You guys got to. Of course, everybody thought I was crazy. Okay? But then what happened? They started taking a drink. They started taking a drink. And the drink became a fountain, and the fountain became a river. And to this day now, there's very few people in our families. Any of you know that Pastor Pam is my first cousin. Okay? Pastor Tom's my first cousin. okay? Her husband came to work, Pastor Cap came to work for me when he was 19 years old. What happened? He got splashed. And to this day now, there's very few people in my family, on both sides of my family, that are not born again. There's a couple of holdouts, but they're not dead yet. They're still here. You getting this?
Yeah.
That's how it's supposed to operate. Now watch this now. For you to be resistant to that, now get ready. I'm going to go say something that might make some people mad. You might go find another church next week. Okay? For you to resist that is the most selfish thing that you could possibly do. Because what you're doing is you're just saying, I don't want to be bothered. I don't like this stuff. It's too spooky for me. It's this, that, and the other thing. And so you resisting now, you are preventing others in your life and in your path from getting splashed. Amen. It's not your say who drinks. It's not your say who gets splashed. It's not your say who gets affected by the river. I will admit, in my years, there's some people, you know, I wasn't that happy when they got born again. I would have rather they suffer for the way they lived. But it's not my place. Don't look at me like that. You've done the same thing. You just never said it. So, now watch this now. I started to say this before. Look at this now, because now we're getting into the message. All God is and all he has is waiting for us to be collected, to be drawn, to be scooped up from that well, which is in us by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, watch this now. Pay attention. When the believer draws from that well and drinks from the fountain and splashes in the river, we experience five transformative realities. There's five things that take place when you take that drink, when you frolic in the fountain, and when you dive into the river. There's five things that take place. These five things are extremely important that you know, because they are the five things that Jesus died on the cross in order for us to be made available to these five things.
Amen.
All right, I'll keep going. Number one, spiritual renewal. 1 Corinthians 5:17. Man, the Saturday night crew really put you guys to shame. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Say this with me nice and loud. 1, 2, 3. Behold, all things have become new. That's your spirit. That's your spirit. Amen?
Amen.
We're in Christ now. No longer just a natural human being, but one who's alive spiritually, connected to God the Creator, yet still living on earth in a flesh and blood and bone body. What happened? That was the initial drink that you took. You said, Jesus, I believe in you. I know that you died on the cross for my sins. I know that you raised from the dead. Jesus, come into my life, be my Lord and Savior. You know what you did? You took a drink.
Amen.
You took a drink. And we received cleansing. You received a sense of relief. You stepped into a sense of purpose. You're now made ready for heaven. Amen? Number two, so that's the born-again experience. Number two, the Holy Spirit plants spiritual fruit within us. The fruit of the Spirit is the evidence that he's in us. Okay, now I'm going to throw this out at you because you need to understand this, because most Christians don't get this far. The Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, which we're going to talk about real fast, but I just want to get this in you. The fruit of the Spirit is evidence that the Holy Spirit is in you. The next thing we'll talk about is the gifts of the Spirit, which is evidence that the Holy Spirit is upon you. It's two different things. The enemy has done a good job through religious people of trying to get Christians confused that they, well, I got born again, the fruit of the Spirit came in there, I got all the Holy Ghost there is. No. No. The gifts, the fruit of the Spirit is evidence that the Holy Spirit is in you. Look what the fruit of the Spirit is. Galatians 5:22. Is anybody learning anything this morning?
Yes.
But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Who produces it?
The Holy Spirit.
Produces this kind of fruit in our lives. You want to read them with me nice and loud? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and
self-control.
You see how you got weak on that last one? Maybe we should read it the other way around. Start with self-control. There's no law against these, the scripture says. When we draw strength from the well, listen to me closely. When we draw strength from the well, we can put down the flesh and cultivate the fruit. But if you're not drawing from the well, you can only go so far in your own human strength. Are you getting this? We're like trees. We bear fruit so that others can taste what Jesus is like. The fruit is not for you. Have you ever seen an apple tree eat an apple? Last night I said, and people are looking at me like, have you ever seen an orange tree eat an orange? The trees produce the fruit. Do the trees partake of the fruit? No. Who partakes of the fruit? Others. That's you. That's you. Most of us get messed up in our heads and messed up in our relationships because we're looking for fruit and wanting to take advantage of our own fruit, not realizing that the fruit you're producing is for somebody else. But they didn't treat me that way. That's not your business. It's not your business. The apple tree doesn't ask you, when you pick an apple off the apple tree, it goes, what are you going to do with that apple? Are you going to eat it the way it is? Are you going to make a pie? Are you going to make applesauce? The tree just does what? Produces. Well, when they start treating me that way, no, you got it wrong. That's where people get messed up. You start expecting stuff from somebody else. Just produce. But listen to me. If you're not drawing from the well, you're going to get fed up with people. Anybody here? Probably not. Anybody here ever get fed up with somebody? You're not drawing from the well. Oh, I have to be Superman. You're right. It's supernatural. In our natural, you want to go and choke the life out of the person. And the more you can gauge yourself whether you've been drinking at the well, the more your nerves are like exposed and you're like, if they say one more word, you are dehydrated. You have not gone to the well. The well's still there. It's there. It's for you to go draw it, though. But the well doesn't go, hey, come here, and splash on you. You got to go to the well. You got to draw from the well. You got to drink from the well. Are you listening to me? Look at this. Jude chapter 1, verse 20. It's going to get better. Jude, what are we talking about? We're talking about drawing from the well to get the strength to put down the flesh so that you can cultivate the fruit that other people need to taste from your life so that they can say that there's something, that person's different. And it's not us. It's Jesus in us. Amen. But the more fruit you produce, the more people see Jesus. The less fruit you produce, then you become one of those people that Christians talk about. Jude chapter 1, verse 20. We're talking about drawing from the well. Look at this. This is so cool. But you, beloved, so who's it written to?
Us.
A few people got it. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy what? Faith. Now he tells us how to do it. Look at this. Read it with me nice and loud. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God. So how do I draw from the well? Jude says you draw from the well by praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in that unknown language, praying in that from that gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's how we draw from the well. And what is it going to do? It's going to, look at verse 21. You keep yourselves in the love of God. How? Let's flip it. By praying in the Holy Spirit, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Jude said, when we water the fruit of love by drawing from the well, we're praying in the Spirit. We're building ourselves up. I'm going to be real transparent with you. I'm not saying you have to do this, but this is how I thank God that the Lord has has trained me over the years without even realizing. Do you ever have something you realize, man, God's been training me with this. I didn't even know he was doing it. You listen to me? You don't even realize he's doing it. And then one day you realize, oh my God, I couldn't have did this. I do way more praying in the spirit than I pray in English. Because I'm in the position where I'm constantly having to deal with mysteries. How do I do this? And how do I do that? And what decision needs to be made? And what's going on with this person's life? And what's going on? And why is this person dealing with this stuff? And what's going on in this marriage? And what's happening with this person's finances? I don't know everything. Do you know everything? Do you know anything? Anybody over here know everything? Okay. So I rely on this. I've got to pray in the Holy Spirit. If I try to figure everything out with my own mind, you guys would be visiting me in the loony bin. Because we can only endure so much. Our minds, we only have a certain capacity. And let's be honest with each other. There's some people that are in our lives that the only way we're going to be able to even talk to them or be in their presence is if you pray in the Holy Spirit, because they're the most difficult people to love. Anybody ever met anyone like that? Does this make sense today? You get anything? All right, let's talk about number three now. Number one was spiritual renewal. Number two was the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, by taking the drink. Number three, spiritual gifts are released. I've noticed this throughout the years. Years and years and years ago, the church in general was way more aware of the miraculous side of the Holy Spirit. In the past 10 to 15 years, the church world in general, for some reason, doesn't really care. But it's reviving again. There's a resurgence again. I think that all of us have realized that this world is crazy and that humankind has gone mad, okay? We realize now something's not right. Things in the natural are not working. And so thank God now for a new season. I don't even want to say generation, because this kind of thing spans all generations, where people again are starting to realize, okay, I'm born again, I'm saved. I know the word of God. I go to church. I pray. I pay my tithes. I worship God. But I'm still coming up against stuff in life. I'm still like, I can't break through this. I'm still. And it's because the supernatural power and the supernatural side of the Holy Spirit has been neglected. Now, watch this. Every miracle that the Holy Spirit wants to work is already in you. Amen. And here's the mistake that people, and I saw this mistake 30 years ago. It was really bad the decade before that, 40 years ago, where people would go after a specific gift instead of going after the Holy Ghost. Amen. Big mistake. Let me read what I'm talking about, and then we'll go there, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Pray, because I got to wrap this thing up quick. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the what? Same Spirit. So we're talking about different manifestations of the Holy Spirit, different gifts, not fruit. Turn to somebody and say, don't mix up the fruit with the gifts. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same, read this with me, the same God who works all in all. Let me read through this and we'll go over it again. But the manifestations of who? The Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is, so what is he saying here? I want to do this because it's a lot of scripture. You have the Holy Spirit in you. Not only has he deposited fruit in you, he has also brought with him the supernatural power of God. You remember what it says in Romans? The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you and will quicken or bring to life your mortal body. So the same power that rose Jesus from the dead is in you. You getting this?
Yes.
Now let's look at how this power of the Holy Spirit manifests. How does it, in other words, what does it produce? What does he produce? And just like there was nine fruits of the Holy Spirit, there are nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. So in other words, there's nine ways that the Holy Spirit will manifest himself supernaturally to bring relief or to deliver somebody or to get somebody healed or just bring information or just whatever. There's nine different ways. And for the most part, the church at large is ignorant of all this. Watch this now. But the manifestation, manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. Not some get it and some don't. Some of you have been lied to. Somebody behind a pulpit tells you, well, you know, sometimes this person, you know, sometimes people get the Holy Ghost, sometimes they. No. It's given to each one for the profit of all. Look at this now. But the same God who works all in all, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one, the profit of all, for to one is given the word of wisdom. Now, I'm not going to have time to explain this all. The word of wisdom pertains to the future.
Amen.
The word of wisdom pertains to the future. And we'll look at this later. Okay. To one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Same Spirit, different manifestation. What's the word of knowledge? The word of knowledge pertains to something today or happened in the past.
Amen.
That somebody gets supernaturally from the Holy Spirit. Last night, I had the opportunity to pray for a gentleman at the end of the service. I don't know that I've ever met him before, never saw him before. He came up, says, I'm going for surgery. I want you to pray for me. Okay. How are we praying? We're praying that the doctors, everything goes well. Yes. Okay. So I'm praying. I'm asking God to make sure that the doctors. And here's what comes out of my mouth. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for the anesthesiologists, that they know exactly what they're doing, that there's no mistakes, that there's no, you know what I'm saying, no after effects. I'm getting done praying. He goes, what made you say that about the anesthesiologist? I said, I don't know. He goes, every procedure I've ever had, I've had problems and bad side effects from the anesthesia. I don't, how would I know that? You understand what I'm saying? He said, that has impacted my heart. I said, well, thank God for that didn't come from me. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Now, what happens now? That man now has the security to go into this procedure and the confidence to know, well, God Almighty knew about the anesthesia problem. That's the word of knowledge. That's the word of knowledge. Okay, the word of wisdom is a little bit different. I remember on a midweek service, right, when I get going on this kind of stuff, we might be here for a little while. Because I've seen this happen so many times throughout the years. Why? Because when I got saved, nobody told me this stuff doesn't work anymore. Nobody told me I couldn't. So we had a midweek service. I'll never forget it. We were right over here. There was a couple sitting over here. They had a tremendous legal, disastrous legal problem for years going on. I won't go into it because I don't want to give away too many details. I'm come off the platform. At that time, the church was here. And I look over to the person. Without thinking, I say to them, it's time to start planning the party to celebrate this thing. God says, it's done, it's over with. And the two of them went. I shut up, I keep going on. After the service came up to me and said, how did you know? Because it didn't come out in the paper yet. I said, what? He said, we got a call from the prosecutor. They dropped all the charges.
Amen.
He said, we just got the call from the prosecutor. What did the Holy Ghost say to him? Start planning a party, it's already done. That's the Holy Ghost. Now let me ask you a question. Do you think they left the service that night deflated or uplift? That's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You getting this? So to one's given a word of wisdom, to one a word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith. That's not faith that you get saved with. That's not, because the Bible tells us that every one of us have been given a measure of faith. That's the faith you need to get saved. This is supernatural faith apart from us. This is a faith that comes out of the realm of the Spirit, and it drops on you, and it's usually associated with something impossible, but it drops on you in such a way that nobody could tell you that what you're praying for is not going to happen.
Amen.
It is like, you know it. Someday I'll tell you a story that really, no, I don't have time. But it's a faith that comes on you. It's apart from you that comes on you. So all right, because I'm getting, when I get in this mode, I get a little stirred up here. So by to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing. That's a supernatural thing. You didn't believe God for it. This is the type of thing that happens when people don't even know God. They just get healed out of nowhere. Okay? God's working through somebody. Okay? Gifts of healings, and another working of miracles. So you got faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles. It's called the power gifts. You need faith, gifts of healings, and working of miracles to raise the dead. Sometimes we'll get a phone call. So-and-so died. Can you come and pray? All right, let me get a hold of this first. Because for me to just go without knowing that I have this working, nothing's going to happen. Because you need faith, you need that special faith, working of miracles, and gifts of healings to operate. All three of them have to operate together to raise the dead. Why? Well, number one, that's not the product of just natural faith. You got to know God's working on the other side to make this person come back to life. Number two, working of miracles. This is like big time to raise the dead. Number three, gifts of healings. Well, why does gifts of healing? Because the person, if gifts of healing weren't involved, then the disease that killed them to begin with would kill them again. You're raising them up, the disease is still on them, they're going to die again. So you need all three of these things operating together to raise the dead. Are you getting this?
Yes.
Because some people, let's just go. No, if this isn't operating, I'm like Moses. God, if you don't come with me, I'm not going. You got to have that knowing on the inside, okay? All right, look at this. To another prophecy, the ability to say what God's saying about what's going to happen in the future, okay? That usually works together with tongues and interpretation of tongues. Discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits is the gift of the Holy Ghost that allows you to see into the realm of the Spirit, okay? We're living in the natural realm. Right alongside us here is in a whole different realm. That's very much, in fact, people that have been there say it's more live and more real than this realm is. But the Holy Spirit sometimes will allow you to see into that realm. And you don't only see demons. There's some people that all they see is demons. No, you see demons, but you see angels too, because both of them exist in the realm of the Spirit. And some of you are sitting here going, what do I need to know this stuff? Because you're a Christian. And you live among people who are hurt and wounded, and the devil's beating them up. And God wants to use you to release that river so that people can get released supernaturally from the things that are trying to separate them from intimacy with God.
Amen.
It's your responsibility. Don't just come here. If you can just come here, you want to go. I just want to be the ones that just want to sit in church, just want to listen. You know, no, go someplace else. Go find somewhere where you're just going to go sit there. All right, we need your seat, okay? My job is to raise up people that are going to operate in the supernatural. That when you get up in the morning, the devil goes, oh, my God, they're up again. Because God Almighty wants us to become hospital emptiers. Just be a passive believer. I feel so good when I go to church. I'm not here to make you feel good. I like when you feel good, but I'm not here to make you feel good. I like my job too much. My position is to equip the believers to do the work of the ministry. Discerning of spirits, different kinds of tongues. Don't get hung up on things with tongues, okay? And to another, interpretation of tongues. you got to know this, and we don't have time today, but there's three different types of tongues in the New Testament. There's the tongues that the apostles spoke on the day of Pentecost that the people understood, known languages, but they knew that the apostles never spoke those known languages. Are you getting this? It says we hear them in our own tongue, in our own language, praising and glorifying God. Now, we don't know if Peter all of a sudden started talking Latin and he never spoke Latin before. We don't know if John started talking Russian and he never talked Russian before. Or was the supernatural gift that the people themselves heard in their own languages. That's one time. Now, I do know this, and I know this for a fact, because I know people that this has happened to. God will call somebody to be a missionary to a certain country. And their first preoccupation is, but I don't speak that language. Go to bed, wake up the next morning, speak in that language of the country that they're going to go to. Oh, that's crazy. Oh, it's crazy? What is impossible for God? That is one of the gifts of the Spirit, okay? Then there's the tongues that exist between us and God only. That's what I was talking about when I said I do most of my praying in the Spirit, because I want to get it in here. I don't want to get it in here. Are you listening to me? I want to get it in here. Okay? This gets you in trouble. Here is different. You hear, my spirit hears from the Holy Ghost. Your spirit hears from the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. But you have to believe that. And you got to be willing to have confidence in that, okay? And then there's the tongues that's public. And I really, really, really have been believing God for many, many years that starts to manifest in this congregation, where somebody receives a message in tongues, gives that message out, and then somebody on the other side of the room stands up and gives the interpretation of that gift. That's what the early church had. Some of you watch the reels and stuff. There's a reel going around where a guy's talking about a service that he was in, and 22 people got saved. The 22nd person to come up to the altar to pray was an Orthodox Jewish scholar. And he said, watch this now. He said, I will not believe in Jesus Christ unless God himself tells me that he is God. He said, the pastor says, immediately this young girl starts speaking in tongues. She received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Jewish scholar says, she's speaking Hebrew. She's speaking Hebrew. And the pastor said, what's she saying? She's saying, I am Jesus and I am God. Now, if you were in that man's position, what would you do? He just said, I will not believe unless God himself speaks to me. Well, guess what? Now, some of you are skeptical. Because you're so used to living in the natural that for you to even think about living in the supernatural is like, well, that's not for me. Oh, you know, I don't live that kind of life. Oh, you know, I'm not that good. Oh, you know, Pastor, I'm still sinning. It has nothing to do with you. It has to do with the Spirit of God wanting to reach somebody with the river through you. Are you getting this? I hope you get excited at some point in time. So these are equipment provided by Jesus, the head of the church, so that the church, in cooperation with the Holy Spirit, might succeed in bringing the gospel to those who are lost, relief to believers, not just in word, but in power. Listen to what 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3. John, we talked about this last week, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3. Paul's writing to the church of Corinth. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstrations of the Spirit and of what? Power. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I come here, whenever I step on this platform, I've tried to train myself through the years. And that's why sometimes I get messed up and I don't stick with my notes. Today I'm sticking with my notes. Lord, I know that any of these people that are coming to church today can go hear people that are way more eloquent, that don't mispronounce words, that don't have a North Jersey accent, and it would probably do them a lot better. So, Lord, I'm not coming with the idea that I'm going to make an impact because of what I say, but I am coming in confidence that you are going to take what's said and you are going to supernaturally impact people's lives. Amen. And, Lord, I'm constantly asking God, every time we're in worship, Lord, is there anybody here that needs to be ministered to? Is there somebody here who's sick? Is there somebody here? And sometimes the Lord will show me things. And you know that. It's not just me. You could do the same thing. If you would let him, if you would be so bold as to say, Lord, am I supposed to minister to someone? Am I supposed to pray for someone? Am I supposed to lay hands on people? Am I supposed to whatever? I'm not talking about just here in church. When you're out in the supermarket, when you're out at the mall, when you're out at the boardwalk, wherever you are, ask the Lord, is there somebody I'm supposed to minister to here? Is there somebody on my path right now that you know I'm going to encounter that has a need? Tell me what to do, and I'll do it. And then watch what happens. The power of God will start manifesting. I have to stop. We're out of time. The second service has to come in. We need to make room. We'll come back in 2 weeks, and we'll cover this again. Listen to me closely. Look at me before you get distracted. Look at me. If you have questions about anything that I taught today, do not let it sit for 2 weeks. Email me. Send me your questions. I'll do my best to get back to you. Amen? Amen. If you need prayer for anything, come on up. If not, God bless you. We'll see you next week.